have a lot to do on the show today. A lot to do on this Thursday edition of the Martin Zender Show. I don't know if I'm going to get to it all, but I'm going to give it a try. It's possible that I will. I got some great mail. Somebody asked a great question, gave me insight into Matthew 24:22. When you least expect it, you get insight into a passage of scripture you haven't even thought about. So I'm going to share that with you here today. Somebody out there has a new discussion board. I'm going to introduce you to that. And we're going to look at the definitions of these words from Hebrews 11:1. I promised you yesterday. Yeah, and the eons have been adjusted to a declaration of God. All that right here on the Martin Zender Show. Where else are you going to get this kind of high-test information? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is Martin Zender. Matthew 24:22. An astute reader wrote me. And by the way, I want everybody to keep writing me. I need to hear from you. Tell me you like the show. Give me something you want me to mention on the air, and I'll do it. I'm getting caught up with my emails. I'm all the way back to, I was a little behind going back to October around the 8th, which just happened to, that just happens to be my birthday, October 8th. There's still time to send birthday cards if you want. Yeah, you can mail me anything you want. You know, except explosives. But I think they ask you at the post office desk if you have anything sharp or anything that might explode. So, you know, be honest with them, tell them. And, I'm not afraid to give out my... I'm not afraid to give out my address. I want people to know. Google this place. Find out what it looks like. Have fun with it. I don't care. Send me something funny. Send me a funny card. Please. I know you're tempted to send me peanut M&Ms. And I know you think that'd be a great thing to do, and your heart would be in the right place, but please don't do it, because it's like sending an alcoholic, you know, Jack Daniels. So, 412 Bedford Street, Apartment 1, 412 Bedford Street, B-E-D-F-O-R-D, Apartment 1, Windburr, Pennsylvania, Windburr, like wind and burr. W-I-N-D-B-E-R-P-A, 15963. For that matter, come and visit. Sit in on the show. We'll have a good time. Promise you, we're going to have a good time. So, let me get to this Matthew 24 thing, and we're going to jump into Hebrews. Matthew 24:22. I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but this tells you how serious the end time deception's going to be. Remember, Jesus is predicting all the kind of things that are going to happen at the end times: desolation, abomination of desolation, declared through Daniel. The prophet, a man of lawlessness, standing in the holy place, and all these things. Woe to those who are pregnant, those suckling in those days, praying your flight may not be on the Sabbath. Then shall be great afflictions, such as not occurred from the beginning of the world till now. And folks, this cannot be AD 70. Cannot be the sack of Jerusalem by the armies of Titus. Because subsequent to that, or should I say previous to that, we had the flood of Noah, the disruption of the world. So how could it be that there will be affliction in the days Jesus is predicting that has not occurred from the beginning of the world till now? That would mean that 70 AD would have had to have been worse, because that was subsequent to this prophecy than things that went previous to the prophecy, namely the flood of Noah. That was pretty bad. Well, Martin, how are you saying that the tribulation is going to be worse because it's going to be protracted agony and torture? The locusts, the fire, the smoke, the bowls, the thunders, the lightning, the 200 million cavalry supernatural beings that rise up from the river Euphrates, it's going to be worse. Now, here's the point. 22. Jesus said, "And except those days were discounted, no flesh at all would be saved. Yet because of the chosen, those days shall be discounted." Now, I've told you before, if I haven't, I meant to. I'm going to tell you right now that God lingers in his blessing and he's quick in his judgment. So when the days of Revelation start, it's going to be quick, sharp. And he's going to cut the day short, because listen to this. If he didn't, no flesh at all would be saved, yet because of the chosen, those days shall be discounted. In other words, even the chosen would crack. it's going to be so bad that even the Chosen would throw in the towel. And to keep that from happening, he cuts the days short. Because if it went 2 weeks longer, 6 months longer, whatever, even the most elect of the elect, even those among the 144,000 would say, we cannot take one more day. That's how bad it's going to be. And so, relatively speaking, if the days were extended, not one ounce of flesh would be saved. That's how bad it's going to be. Why were the days of Noah not that bad? Because it was one glug and you were dead. Salt water, you're done. One breath, you're finished, you're dead. That's how quick Noah's flood was. No protracted agony like today. Or should I say like it's going to be in the future. Some people are telling you the events of the book of Revelation are past. It's a belief called preterism. It's wrong. It's a popular deception based on a misunderstanding of the present administration and the nature of it, the nature of God's timing, and the fact that God does indeed hit the pause button on his times. He's done it many times in the past, and he's doing it right now. We're in an unprophesied period. So isn't that something? That speaks to how terrible the days will be. And now is another good opportunity I have to tell you that the days are coming worse than the days of Noah. And in those days, the days of Noah, there was an ark, and God saved 8 people out of 8 billion. Yes, there were 8 billion people on the planet during the days of Noah. We've researched this, found it on several websites. People have done some intense math. And this is the first time in history today that we've had as many people on the planet as were alive during the days of Noah. That's significant. And the fact that God saved 8 people, people tell me I'm crazy for saying that there are so few members of the body of Christ who are going to be saved, rescued from the day of indignation, delivered to the celestial kingdom. Well, how does 8 sound? You know, the other day, 2 weeks ago, I told you 5,000, I think. That was my guess. 5 being the number of grace, 1,000 being a nice round number. Elijah thinking 7,000 are being apprised of 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal back in the days of the prophets. So now I'm telling you 5,000. If I told you 10, you'd think I was cracked, and yet 8 people out of 8 billion saved. This would be intolerable if the teaching of eternal torment were true. The teaching of eternal torment is not true. God is saving very few today. Knowing the truth of the eventual salvation of all, we don't have to lower the bar of what a member of the body of Christ will be believing. Don't have to do that. And we don't have to water down the judgments. We can believe all of Scripture, knowing that it's not everyone's time to come in. Look at the scriptural precedent. God is always calling out in this time period a small group of people, and it's smaller than you think. A woman named Christina has started a chat thing. What do you call those things? Talk page, chat thing. I don't do these things. You know that. I'm a Facebook loser, right? You know this. I don't chat. Anyway, go to godsplanforall.yuku.com. Did you get that? Christina has started a site for people to come and chat, get to know each other, try to be nice when you go there. I know you will. Of course, everybody I'm speaking to is lady, gentleman. God's Plan for All. YUKU.com. Go there and have a talk with your fellow members of the body of Christ. We need to stick together. It's so vitally important to love one another and to not be so petty. We're not going to compromise the truth. I'm not telling you to do that, but I'm telling you, I'm writing about this weekend for the ZWTF, part 6 of my Romans series. I'm enthralled now, anew, afresh, possibly for the first time, with the opening 17 verses of Romans, because Paul is effusive in his love for fellow members of the body of Christ. I finally realize why this is. Gonna talk to you about it on Saturday, I think. That's going out Saturday on the ZWTF. Part 6 of the Romans series, volume 22? No, 23, I think. All right. We got a few minutes here, as is my wont. Oh, yeah, I got to talk to you about those words in Hebrews 1. How did the King James screw it up so badly? Let's go to Hebrews 11 once, what I meant to say. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is an assumption of what is being expected, a conviction concerning matters which are not being seen. Assumption. This is a great word in the Greek. It's hupostasis. That's a two-part Greek word. Hupo is a prefix. It means under. And stasis is to stand. So it's understand. But in this case, you flip the words around. Standing under. Standing under. An assumption is a standing under. All right, Martin, we're not following you there. Well, it's this. Listen. This is the definition from the Keyword Concordance in the Concordant version, page 21 of the Greek-English Keyword Concordance. That under which the mind takes its stand. What is taken for granted? Okay, the mind takes its stand under a declaration of God. Beautiful, an assumption. Stand under. You stand under God's declaration. In this case, the Hebrews were to stand under the declaration of God coming to them through Paul in this letter that he is not slack concerning his promises and he's going to deliver the kingdom to Israel in spite of all appearances to the contrary. Transadministrational truth, right? You better believe it is. Because God is telling us what he's going to do with us, for us, and everything we see seems to testify to the contrary. We're discouraged. We're fat. We're tired. We're sick. And are you kidding me? God's going to do this with us? Yes, you stand under the declaration. This is why the Apostle Paul uses the word realization more than any other writer. Because Paul's gospel requires mental exercise. You have to continually remind yourself of these things because this thing we're assuming, that under which the mind takes its stand, what is taken for granted, is not visible. Back to the definition, assumption of things which are not being seen. Not being seen. Here's again from the definition on page 21 in the Keyword Concordance. Faith assumes that to be true which is beyond the evidence of the senses. Beyond the evidence of the senses. That is true in so many instances in our life, and you're going to get discouraged about that if you don't stand under the declarations of God. Then a conviction concerning matters which are not being observed. A conviction. What does the King James say on that again? They say, not a conviction, they say evidence. Yeah, they have substance for assumption, which substance is not to stand under a declaration of God. Substance is just, they went off, they were drinking some funny tea, a weird blend to translate hupostasis as substance. Then they make conviction evidence. I don't like that at all. So the word conviction, let me get to it here. The word conviction in the Greek is, got it, katadike. Maybe it's dike. Katadike, is that what it is? Long I? Okay, katadike, down justice, conviction. Now, let's go to one place where this word was used, and then we're going to close here. Acts 25:15. The Romans, the Jews, I should say, were seeking Paul's conviction. The elders and the Jews inform Festus concerning Paul's conviction, his conviction. They wanted to convict him of inciting the people against their traditions. So conviction definitely fits here. Evidence, no. They weren't seeking evidence. They didn't care about evidence. The Jews didn't care about evidence. They wanted a conviction. So conviction fits perfectly in Acts 25. And the only other time it's used is in our passage here in Hebrews. A conviction concerning matters. Down justice. Down. I love the word down. It's a picture word. It's a verb. It's an active word. You're down on it. So you stand under the truth of God's declaration and you cinch down on it. You're convicted. Down, down, down. Grasp it. Get to the basement of it. Get to the root meaning of it. Just focus, focus, focus. Get down. Get down. Don't look at the outside things. Don't look at the mirror. Don't listen to what people are telling you. Those are outward things. Those are matters that you don't need to be down about. It's God. He's the only one who you can trust to say things and mean them and deliver them. That's what Paul's telling the Hebrews. It's a transadministrational truth. It's a conviction I want you to have concerning the facts of your celestial calling.